Hi, this is your host, Gareth Rice, and you're listening to Canadiana Suite on UMFM 101.5 radio station. This is a radio program primarily dedicated to highlighting the works of the many talented Canadian jazz artists on the scene today. We've got Tatiana Harishchuk here to talk about her upcoming album, Intentions, which releases tomorrow. Tatiana is a jazz drummer, arranger, and composer who received her Bachelor of Jazz Studies degree from the U of M Jazz Program and recently gained a Master's in Contemporary Music Performance from the Berkeley Valencia Music Program. Tatiana enjoys taking inspiration from a wide variety of genres, which include jazz, rock, classical, and Ukrainian and Cuban folk music. Before the interview, you'll be hearing from Canadian saxophonist Claire Devlin's 2020 album, Anyone, which contains primarily avant-garde original compositions. This is the Claire Devlin Quartet with Clocks, Fog, and Erroneous Thought.
Thank you. Thank you.
We've got Tatiana Harris-Chuck with us today. Tatiana is a graduate of the U of M jazz program and currently studying in Berkeley, Valencia. How are you doing, Tatiana?
I'm doing well, thank you, Gareth. How are you?
Pretty good. Well, we'll just get straight to the point. You're releasing a new album on October 7th. It's called The Intentions of Kindness, Honesty, and Perseverance. What was your intention while creating this album?
Ooh. I like that. I like that pun. So yeah, first I want, yeah, the intentions is a word I can no longer use in my daily life. It's getting to the point where it just, you know, it reminds me of the album and work and blah, blah. So that word is out of my vocabulary. But my intention with this album was to write a musical thank you letter to everyone in my life who has influenced my development and taught me and showed me things and impacted me in some way. So this is a thank you letter to those people.
How would you say that's like conveyed in the music? Because this is a really specific type of arrangement you've done. It's a chamber jazz suite. So I was wondering if you had like any like thoughts about the movements or how they're constructed.
Yeah. So it has six parts. It has three interludes and three movements. And each movement is named kindness, honesty, and perseverance. So those are the the three values that I'm focusing on, that basically I'm thanking these people for. I'm thanking them for the kindness that they've showed me, you know, that they taught me honesty, and they showed me honesty and perseverance. They taught me how to persevere, and I saw that in them.
And then I guess you also have like a really interesting instrumentation. Like you have like vocals, mallets, like bass and guitar and like drums. So like how was it like writing for that instrumentation? Because especially like mallets, you don't find those.
Yeah, it was an interesting instrumentation, mainly because of COVID restrictions actually at the school. And so there's, I initially wanted an actual choir. But because of the COVID restrictions, we had to just use two vocalists and kind of layer things for some of the parts. So that was one edit that we had to make while recording. And I was also interested in having horns on the album, but because of the special masks and the limitations of having horn players in a room for a period of time, I decided that it would just be easier to not have horns. And there was a vibes player at school, and he's a very good musician, so I decided to include him. And to be honest, like I've never written for vibes before, and I just wrote some guide parts for him, and he helped me actually move things around and actually have them sit on the vibes properly. So
yeah, I think it worked out really well, like because there's a really natural progression. Like you have like the vocal like lines kind of like they're kind of like a harmony, but kind of more like a rhythmic thing, and then you have those more like prog rock rhythms near the end, and like that really like sick like those rhythmic hits. So I was kind of wondering like what were your influences when you were creating this album? Because it kind of sounded like a bit of like Brad Mehldau and like a bit of like prog rock, like some stuff like that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Brad Mehldau. I love Brad Mehldau, so definitely have listened to a lot of his music. So I'm sure, you know, all the stuff is up here, and I'm just referencing things subconsciously. But also, when I was younger, I listened to a lot of different music. So I listened to heavier, not heavy metal, but like hard rock and different bands like that. And I'm still interested in bands like Primus. And we talked about recently, we talked about Radiohead, you know, things like yeah. That. So yeah, for sure, these things subconsciously slip into my mind. And with this, the other intention that I had for this album was not to play swing, you know, was not to play four on the floor, just spang spangling. My intention here was to do something different and not have an identifiable genre. That was kind of the intention, actually, from a drum perspective.
Yeah, definitely, because like genre is like a really like important thing, I guess, for categorizing music, but it can also limit you in so many ways.
Yes.
And like especially like what you're saying about like drums, like jazz drumming, there's like so many ways that like, oh, I want to play like Elvin, I gotta sound like Elvin, I gotta sound like Tony Williams, or I gotta do the swing thing. And it's like, but there's so many other things you can do with drums, and like just different influences as well.
Absolutely.
And I guess like going off of that, like when you're trying not to think about genre, like how was it kind of like looking at the suite and composing it, and like what is I guess chamber jazz mean to you?
Oof. Good question. I mean, I think by definition, chamber means like one part per instrument. Like in classical music, it means an ensemble where each instrument has its own part. And I think that was definitely the case for this ensemble. Everybody had a specific role. because we tried to have a big sound with very little instrumentation. And I think that's what it means to me. And I'm very lucky to have had the musicians on the album that played on the album, because they really brought a lot of character and a lot of interpretation to the music that really enhanced the message and the material. And it was a great pleasure working with them, and I'm very thankful for their ability to take the music and you know, interpret it in such a musical way. I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, going off of that, I guess you're at Berkeley Valencia right now, right?
I actually finished in July. It was like an accelerated master's, so it was 1.5 years.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, how did you like that experience? Like, how did it, like, with the album and everything?
With the album?
I guess in general, like, how did you enjoy the experience?
The album was actually my thesis for school, so it was definitely a big part of my schooling.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I didn't have too much time to dedicate to the album, actually, because there are so many other things going on. But overall, I would say that very lucky to have had the opportunity to study at Berklee College of Music. And the facilities here are really incredible. And we had access to the studio, and we could use it. And there's so much equipment. And it was interesting because it was a performance program. It wasn't a jazz program. So there's a lot of my peers were from all over the world. It's a very international program. So I got to meet a lot of different people and listen to a lot of different music and understand a lot of new things and learn a lot of new things. And that was very inspiring, and it was an amazing experience.
Yeah, it sounds like you enjoyed it a lot. I guess when you're thinking like performance, like is it kind of like a different kind of feel in terms of like not necessarily looking at like a jazz program? It's kind of a different like way of looking at it in terms of like interpreting music.
Yeah, it's really interesting. There are a lot of let me just move a little bit. There are a lot of people that had studied jazz before or are interested in jazz, but whenever there is something that we needed to do, it was very much a collective effort, and it was an interesting result because of the backgrounds of different people. They're very different. And as a program, it's very freeing, I think, because being in a school, in a jazz school, especially in my last year at the U of M, I felt a little bit like I had to, you know, maintain some kind of trajectory, you know, maintain some repertoire, maintain something very specific. And that's amazing. And putting in time and focus into specific things is really great. But I think my musical interests were also taking me somewhere else. And I wanted to explore different things. So this time at Berklee gave me that time to explore different musical avenues and different ideas.
Definitely. And as a fourth year, I can definitely relate to what you've been saying. I feel like if I don't play jazz, or if it's not jazz enough, it's not real music. And like, that's not like, that's completely, I don't know. It's so weird, but there's so many other ways you can take music in a different direction, and you don't necessarily need to like go in one direction, but you need to like figure out what works for you and just like figure out where your interests lie and use what you've learned from other people to bolster your own creative experiences.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with you. And it's interesting how, to add to what you're saying, if you do take a little step back from jazz, because there are only a few times during my degree here that I get to, you know, play Spang Spang Lang jam session with some peers. So that lack of that lack of jazz in my life, the umbrella term we're going to use, you know, for bebop and swing and everything, that lack made me listen to jazz a lot more intently and with a lot more focus. And actually learning different music made me understand other things in jazz, because a lot of the jazz we listen to is actually influenced by other music now.
Exactly,
you know, it's such a blend of things that you really have to see the big picture, you know, and then you can go back into jazz. But it's very valuable to see the big picture and to study Indian music and to study Brazilian music and Afro-Cuban music. You know, it's very, because it's all in jazz.
Yeah, because that's what all the jazz masters did back then. Like, they always took inspirations from, like, Afro-Cuban music, Brazilian music, and classical composers. They took inspiration from jazz, like Debussy, the gamelan, and, like, all that kind of stuff. And, like, the jazz people now, they take inspiration from everything. Like, Brad Meldow, he's, like, really popular with, like, he did, like, the Blackbird, and then, like Joshua Redman. Like, people are already doing that, but it's, like, a different kind of way of looking at it. And, like, there's, yeah, it's just, like, it just keeps going and going. You always take influences from something else to build what you're already doing.
Absolutely, exactly. So it's like it's a wheel, you know. You have to, you know, you have to understand a lot of different things, and you come back to it, and it's more rich. It's rich with, rich with, you know, because at some point it gets to the point where you're recycling a lot of things.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're recycling jazz onto itself, and I mean, sorry for the noise. It gets to a point where if you recycle too much on top of it, you're just recreating what's already been done, and that's not fun. Because, for example, I really love Thelonious Monk, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that I have to only play Thelonious Monk, or that I only have to play Count Basie tunes. I think there's room for, you know, I want to leave that. That music is special. It's special in its own way, and I want to leave it like that, you know? There's not much I can add to it, so I might as well try something new, you know?
Yeah, find your own sound.
Yeah, like I absolutely enjoy that music, and it's influenced me, of course, but I almost feel bad, you know, like trying to play Count Basie big band charts, you know. I enjoy it very much, but it's, you know, it's a little bit of a weird feeling sometimes too.
Yeah, like the legacy kind of, it's hard to live up to.
Absolutely.
And like, it's like, you always hear about the legacy, and the legacy is like really important, and legacy like builds what you're doing, but it's also, it's just really, it's tough. It's tough to live up to it.
Absolutely.
Which is why we need like the Tatiana of the world.
Oh, wow.
To leave a mark on the world. We got Tatiana Harischuk.
Wow. No way. No, done. That's, you're putting a lot of pressure on the, you know, that's like, it's just something, you know,
that's,
just some stuff.
It's still some,
just stuff, some experimentation.
Though. Yeah, but it's still your stuff, though.
That's true. Cool. That's true. That's true. You know, I'm more comfortable trying to play my own music because nobody's ever done it before.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. You know, you can claim. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. Do you have any future projects or any like future music things coming up?
The album is coming out on October 7th, and I recently, like last week, I finished recording another project, so I have to edit that project, and And that project is actually going to be more electronic. So I'm
Nice.
working in Logic a little bit and doing that kind of stuff, and it's very interesting for me as an ex another experiment. It's very interesting, and it's a lot of fun. So I'm working on that, and I'm also working on writing one more song with lyrics, so that I can record and release a little vocal EP, like a quartet. So trio, guitar trio with vocals. And those are the projects coming up. But I have a whole list of things that I still want to write and work on. And I've been sampling some things, so I want to put them into Logic and
Oh,
like
that's super fun.
try to put beats to it or something. I don't know. Just different things.
Yeah, sounds cool. Yeah, thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Where can we find your album?
The album is going to be on Spotify and Apple Music. And the single, okay, no. Yeah. And I have to check about Bandcamp. So for sure, Apple Music and Spotify.
Thanks again to Tatiana for being here on the show. Movement 3 of Intentions, Perseverance, is currently available to listen to via Bandcamp. You'll now be hearing from some of Tatiana's previous compositions, the tune Closer Than You Appear, and the three-movement suite called The Time Was. The movements are titled Nothing I Can Do, Reconcile, and If Only It Were Easy. This has been Canadiana Suite on UMFM 101.5 radio station. And it's been a pleasure. Till next time.